Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, that's my sports editor right there. Ryan, we have a lot to talk about. Padres are home. It's a real homestand, not just one of those three-game homestands. Actually, two teams coming to Petco Park. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a tough one. Seems like it. Phillies, Reds. We've got Phillies coming up, and I mean, we can get into it, but like, it's not every time you go. A lot of times you look at the pitching matchups, you go, oh, okay, really good pitching matchups. Got a lot ahead, but where would you like to start?
The reason why you've got to beat bad teams during a baseball season, Kevin, is because then good teams come to town, right? The Padres had a plum opportunity to at least take a series or sweep the Colorado Rockies in Denver. Instead, they settled for a four-game split. Yesterday seemed to be a frustrating day from about the eighth inning on. And Mike Shildt, I want to talk about Mike Shildt because he went viral, as the kids say, for his response to a question about bullpen usage and saw some fire there. What do you make of that?
Man, it's a multi-layered thing. Look, I'm going to start by saying this. Like, there's gray in this world, and there is no doubt that was terribly disappointing. First off, the loss, right, when you're up by five and you give up six runs, and then splitting with a really, really bad team. Again, perspective. It's a long season. There's 75% of this season to go. Blah, blah, blah. You already addressed it. You win series against teams like the Rockies. You just do. And especially if you're up five in the eighth inning. Okay, so that was bad. That doesn't mean that Mike Shildt didn't have a lot of good points when he was talking about how they fought, blah, blah. They scored nine runs. They hit two home runs. They drove in a run with a sacrifice fly. They played error-free. Johnny Brito and Eniel De Los Santos picked up Randy Vasquez. If you want to go back, Randy Vasquez is the reason they lost this game. Had to start going to the bullpen in the third inning. Had to start going to high leverage relievers an inning earlier. And only an inning earlier because Johnny Brito was so good. So Mike Shildt, who, by the way, his teams are generally better in the second half. He is looking at the process. He can't live and die with every game like the rest of us do or many people do. He had a lot of good points about that game. I mean, now I'm saying that because I kind of saw it the same way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't score nine runs and do it the way the Padres did. Oh, it was such a horrible game. No, Wandy Peralta was horrible.
Right, right, right. Well, and that's what we're seeing with Shildt. And it's so funny, Kevin, you know, we're getting to know these guys, right? I am getting to know more about Mike Shildt every time I see him interviewed. Before that, Bob Melvin, before that, Jace Tingler, before that, Andy Green. Right. Mike Shildt is so unflinchingly positive about his players. And what I saw from him yesterday was a full-throated defense of Wandy Peralta, who, by the way, has a reputation in or has a history of success in Major League Baseball, where this is not a regular occurrence for him. Wandy Peralta, he doesn't get torched like this very often. Mike Shildt is unflinchingly positive. Does he allow anywhere in there some criticism, or is he just rah-rah when he's public-facing all the time?
Public-facing, it's basically rah-rah. Now, rah-rah might imply he doesn't believe it. I believe he believes 90% of it, but it is always going to be, these are my guys, and here's why we did it. Is there some defensiveness in there? Yes, there absolutely is. And okay, whatever. I guess that's one of his personality things. Right. I will hesitate to call someone too positive. No. You know, he's... You can argue he's there to feed the media and the fans, but the media are there to feed the fans. And you know, when he's front facing like that, maybe give the fans a little bone, right? Like, you know, rip somebody or rip himself or go off or whatever, or just, you know, even acknowledge, hey, yeah, we could have done this better, which he has doesn't do very much. You could argue that. On the other hand, you could say this guy's job is to have the Padres at least going on something of an upward trajectory so that they're the best by the end of the season. I mean, there's merit in that. So yeah, it is. We're learning Mike Shildt, and yeah, he's very interesting from media perspective. Early on there, I mean, you could tell. Let me just tell you, that question set him off, but go back and listen to the whole thing. And from the start, he was on the edge and he was ready to pounce, and he just chose a certain point to pounce. But I mean, he was on the edge from the start. And I knew when I walked in, and it's not my first day doing this, like, okay, this is going to be interesting because Mike's pissed right now. Now, is this at his players? I'm like, I know Mike well enough. I think I know him better than most in the media, having spent time with him, so much time with him over the last few years and this offseason and training and all this. I think I know him. Like, I knew he wasn't going to rip anybody, but like, there was something different. He was really upset, like almost tears in his eyes, kind of upset. So
why, who was he pissed at? I mean, that's, is it just the outcome?
Himself, Wandy. I mean, everybody. Now this is me. Like, I'm not saying, but like, that sucks, man. You just lost a game, you know, you should have won. So like, that's what I think it was. And then it comes out how it comes out. And he is always, always going to defend his players. And again, I go back to like, people are like, wins, losses. Well, yeah. Right. That's why you keep them, right? Like, keep the score and all that stuff. But because a reliever, and we should get into like how Wandy was used and all that, but like, because a reliever blew up, I mean, those were fat pitches. He blew up. That means the Padres didn't play well. Like you didn't watch the first 7 innings,
right?
Like 7.5, because their final run scored on a single, a steal, and another single. Like, like all day they were adding on. Like, this wasn't a 9-run inning and then they, you know, cruised, or a 5-run and a 4-run. This was like the Padres were, they were winning this game and a guy blew it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Kevin, you and I both covered a lot of football. That felt like a post football game news conference, right? You got a coach there, you know, you fumbled the ball late, and you're right. You can sense the energy in the room when you walk into a news conference like that. You phrased it great. So I know that he was going to pounce on some, right?
Yes. Yes. And you're right. And it's like, yeah, that was, man. And clearly Mike cares. And again, and I put it in my newsletter today, at some point, all this, I didn't say it like this, but at some point, all this rah-rah, and at some point, like, the positive signs have to lead to sustained winning. There has to be a 3, 4, 5, 6 game winning streak. There has to be an 8 out of 10. There has to be. But that just doesn't mean that Mike Schilt or anyone else is wrong about the process that is happening right now. And I just look, this team isn't as talented as last year on offense. Right. They're playing better than this team was at this point last year. They might be playing better than they have in many years, including when they had these great winning records that turned out to be something of facades, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were just crushing teams. Toddy was on fire. Manny was on fire. Like, they are finding ways to win. When Manny wasn't there, well, he and Yane had baby, and I feel okay saying that, because the other day I happened upon a pregnant woman who said, my husband and I are having a baby. And I walked past and I go, man, I have never thought of it that way. I've heard people say we, and I've always thought, listen, bud, I've been present for two of those. It wasn't me. But anyway, so Manny and Yane having a baby. And guess what? Since the Korea, Manny hasn't had a clutch hit, okay? Yeah. And Toddy's been good. I love his process. I'm about to write about it. It's amazing. Eventually, Tatis is going to get some results from his process right now. It's as good as I've ever seen it. But not producing in a huge way. When was his last home run? Xander Bogaerts? Don't need to say anymore. Like, and they are 14-14. I'm not rah-rahing them right now. I'm just saying there's a lot of positives happening right now.
Sure. Kevin, are they good?
Okay, like a 500 team. And here's, how about this? I love that I got this stat yesterday. So not only are they 500, so you go, I don't know if they're good.
Right.
No, not really. I mean, not right now. Like, right. But they have had the third most big innings and have allowed the third most big innings. And by that, I mean, they've scored 4 or more runs the third most times in the major leagues, 11 times. They've allowed 4 or more runs in an inning 10 times. That's the third most in the major leagues. Like it's like, up and down, that's what this team is right now. And that's got to stop, absolutely. If we could do a whole show on why it has to stop, how it has to stop, all that, absolutely. I just would like to defend Mike Schilt and the idea that, you know, and like, look, again, how did Randy Vasquez get off the hook for this?
Right. Right. Randy Vasquez, who's not a major league starter, who's filling in for an injured Yu Darvish. You know, again, the Padres, I mean, there are some concerning signs, Kevin, I think.
Yes, let's talk about them.
They have pulled their butts out of the fire how many times this year? Four or five, right?
Yeah.
More so than you could expect from a team.
That and should have be happening, yes.
They're right. And even with all that, they're 14-14. This was a team that has had that had some pretty good injury luck early this year, but now Yu Darvish is down, right? Manny Machado hasn't played the field yet. Jackson Merrill, and we can talk about that a little bit, had a little bit of a groin tweak or however, what did Mike Schilt call it, an owie or an ouchie?
How is that not the viral moment that he called it an ouchie?
Right. Like, there's some concerns here, and they're lining up now to play the Phillies, who we know are good, and the Reds, who might be really good. I mean, I think the Reds are a playoff team. This could get ugly. If they don't start playing more consistent baseball on a day-to-day basis.
Well said. Before we move on, I want to talk about Peralta being in there and then how long he was in there. Look, I would have taken him out after the walk. Okay. Right. I think that's the third batter. So he comes in, he gives up a home run, fat pitch, single, fat pitch, walk, I believe, before another RBI single. But I would have done it knowing in my mind that Stephen Kolek was going to give it up to, which, by the way, Stephen Kolek gave up the winning run.
Sure.
So, like, what was Mike supposed to do? Right? Like he can't bring in Robert Suarez. Okay, if he brings in Robert Suarez only to work the eighth Peralta is done, okay, you get out of that jam. Okay, great. Now you have to score in the ninth, and you have to then you've got someone else, be it Kolek, Cosgrove. I don't know that Morahone was available after going 2 1/3 and 36, I think, season high pitches. Two nights earlier in altitude, this is maybe where it comes in too. You're managing, it's bird in the hand. You're managing to win that day. You're now in that situation. You believe, I got Stephen Kolek anyway. I believe in Stephen, absolutely. Throwing all your Mike cliches right there. But okay, here's realistic. And six more games before my next day off.
Yep. Six games against a really good team.
Yeah.
Two really good teams.
Right. They're fortunate that I think it's possible De Los Santos could come back today. Suarez, Cosgrove, they should be okay today. But if they have to use all those guys today, you know, I think they'll be okay because Morahone should be good today and all that. But Brito's going to be down. Peralta's going to be down. So, you know, plus you aren't bringing in Suarez for five outs yesterday because he'd worked three of the four. So now you are working him four of five in April and you're not looking, you don't want to bring him in at all, man. You're pissed when it gets close, right? Like, that was my first thought. Like, okay, Suarez has to now pitch the ninth. Oh, then very quickly, now Suarez won't be in this game. So anyway.
Right. And you're managing for the next week. And again, maybe you can steal one against a bad team, right? There's a thought there too, that maybe you don't need to push all your chips in and jeopardize a Friday night game against the Phillies to beat the Rockies, to beat a almost historically bad Rocky on a third.
Yeah, I think that it got there. I'm only going down that road. I think it got there maybe in the calculus of how when Mike is planning out the game and worst case scenario, or when he's working through it there in the eighth inning, that's when the Phillies came in. In terms of what he did yesterday, it was to win yesterday for what you just said, taking that game, no matter who it was, but especially the Rockies.
The Padres, again, I think could benefit from an extra right-handed arm. I haven't looked at Steven Wilson's numbers in Chicago or what he's doing, but, you know, Kolek's been fine, but, you know, it's a high leverage situation for a guy who hasn't really done this before.
Yes.
You had a great note today about Eniel De Los Santos. He's been a revelation at a bargain price this year. You know, even with Eniel De Los Santos being better than anybody thought he would be, they still, to me, Kevin, need that one right-handed guy who can go, you know, pitch a sixth inning or something like that. So then you slide everybody down one, right? Maybe De Los Santos is pitching the eighth there instead of Kolek.
It's interesting you bring that up. I almost added that to the daily today. I think you're aware of some of the challenges I had yesterday, trying to get all my stuff done and make flight home and stuff. And so I was like, I can wait anyway. Their lefties have been pretty good against righties, but I'll break it down in tomorrow's Padres Daily probably. I'm not arguing with you. I am saying, like, I'm not sure, because Peralta, who historically has been just a lefty guy, has been good against righties. Cosgrove has been good against righties. Matsui's been good against righties. That said, yes, like, there have been some matchups where you go, oh, and look, Stephen Kolek, that's awesome, man. What he's done, what they've done to get a Rule 5 guy. but he is what he is. He's the guy. And I wrote about this, like, he's the guy who, if you're up three, not at Coors Field, somewhere else in the sixth, or you're down three, he gives you an inning, two thirds of like, oh man, he covered that and kept us in the game. Or, you know, he covered that and kept us ahead. And you know, we had someone else ready to go if he didn't, but he did. Great. Awesome. That is Steven Kolek's role. Not everybody's role is Wandy Peralta or Eniel De Los Santos or Robert Suarez.
Right. And the problem, not the problem, but the issue with Steven Kolek as a Rule 5 guy is he's got to stay, right? I mean, he's got to stay unless if you can't send him down, right?
Right. And it's funny, that's a balance. And I talk about this with our minor league guy, Jeff Sanders, a lot. It comes up like it's there. This is different now. They're here to win now. Like, Steven Kolek will not be given a leash, right? Like he would in the past. But yes, that is in the calculus. That is in the idea. He has to earn his spot, but it's also like, that's why Pedro Avila was a grueling decision, right? Like, he was out of options. You're going to lose him. Steven Kolek has shown he can pitch in the major leagues. You're going to lose him. So yes, that is absolutely a part of the calculus. His leash is not as long as when they were a team of Rule 5 guys, or, you know, Rule 5 equivalent.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm looking at right-handed guys in El Paso right now. And, you know, Jeremiah Estrada has been really good. Mm-hmm. Lake, is it Bachar?
Uh-huh.
Lake Bachar has been good.
Love him.
Yeah. Jeff Sanders had a great note about him earlier this week. Kevin Copps has been good. Alec Jacob, not so much. And this was a guy who, you know, we thought might be a part of this bullpen.
Yeah.
Based on what he had done in a very limited sample size last year. You know, Alec Jacob in 8 games, 0-0 with a 6.52 ERA, which we know.
Yes. If you're doing well there, then it's basically like pitching in Coors Field all the time.
Right. All the time. You're absolutely right. Hey, can we talk a little bit about pitching matchups here? Phillies Padres. I mean, this has maybe not a playoff atmosphere, but a big series atmosphere, I think.
Oh yeah. This is great. Joe Musgrove tonight against Aaron Nola. Dylan Cease tomorrow against Ranger Suarez, who's like 4-0 with like a 1.50 or something like that. And by the way, Dylan Cease, let me just check notes, 1.82. He's 3-1 with a 1.82. This is, as far as guys who have basically from the start of the season been on, these are two of the best right here. And then on Sunday is Michael King against Taijuan Walker, who's coming back from a shoulder injury, making his first start. So you got Ranger Suarez, the lefty in there. It's all righties other than that. This is fantastic. Like like I said at the outset, sometimes you're like, oh, okay. And then sometimes when you're playing, oh, who the heck is that guy? And you have to look up who the other guys on the team are. This is 5.5 really good guys. And Taijuan Walker can be a hell of a pitcher. He can. We don't know where he's at right now, whatever. But these first two games, probably in particular, these are going to test them. Manny's back. Jackson Merrill should be, but this is going to be full strength against full strength, because Bryce Harper, they had a baby this week too. He came back and hit a home run. I know that someone put out there said dad strength. It is funny how often that happens. Guy comes back from having a baby, hits a home run. Or maybe it's not funny. Maybe it's one of those things like, you know, you only notice it when it happens. It doesn't really happen that often, but when it does happen, you go, oh, dad strength. Anyway, maybe Manny had a home run tonight. You'll think of me.
Let's talk about dad strength here for a minute, Kevin. Any good, because I always put you on the spot at the end of our podcast. Any good first time dad stories out of you?
You mean players?
No, you, oh, Kevin. Me. You,
well,
Kevin.
You know, I wasn't the greatest. I was very concerned about my job at the time, and but I will tell you this: the reason I got off baseball the first time was, we had two boys, and they were, at the time I got off baseball, 1.5 and 2.5. And my wife said, she didn't say the words baseball or us, but it was basically that.
It was,
because what happens when, I said that I wasn't a very good dad. I was a great friend. When you're covering baseball, and back in the old days, it was really a lot more like longer road trips. So it was like, home for a week, gone for a week, gone for 2 weeks, home for 2 weeks, gone for 2 weeks, home for 2 weeks. And we didn't take days off. I don't know anyway, but the kids do. But like, when you're gone all the time and you come home, man, you don't want to be the bully. You don't want to be like the guy who says no. So like we almost burned the house down. We filled up the bathtub with yogurt. We built forts and didn't take them down because I'm also not good at that. I said yes, 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 yes. Are we going to just pour sugar in our mouth at 6 a.m.? Yes, we are. And so I was a terrible partner when my kids were young. And so that would be my memory. And by the way, I think I took like the first day, the first child, I was filing a story in the delivery room. And the second child, I think I was back. I did take a road trip off because he was born on a road trip. I took a road trip off, but I was back like 2 days later. And that is not something I'm proud of. Right. But that's the way it was. And so thankfully my wife was right. And I took 20 years off from baseball.
The night I became a dad for the first time, I was in the newsroom. I'd been covering a college football team, University of Arizona. They were in the middle of a coaching. At 5 o'clock, I get a tip and they say, we've hired a football coach and it's Rich Rodriguez. You can go with it, you know? And so I write the story, Arizona hires Rich. I get a call from Arizona's athletic director at the time. He goes, Rich Rodriguez is flying on a jet out here right now. You can meet him at my house if you can get there at 10 at night. You know, it was 9 o'clock. You can meet him at my house, get the first interview with Rich Rodriguez. By the way, again, this had been like a 3 month long coaching search. They fired a guy like in week four. You know, it had been a whole thing. Okay, cool. That's my plan. My phone rings again. And it's my wife. And I answer as I'm, you know, wrapping up a story, yada, yada, yada. And she goes, I'm in labor and you need to come home. And I go, I'm almost done with the story. And she goes, you don't understand. And so my wife's labor for our first kid was something like 3 hours because she held off on telling me because of this football coaching.
That's a sports writer's wife.
It's sports writer's wife. I run home, pick her up, go to the hospital, have the baby, miss out on the Rich Rodriguez thing, which is fine. We sent the columnist or somebody. And then, yeah, the next day, I did not go to the press conference the following day. But I think that I was working the day after that. And if you want to talk about somebody who's now in his 40s, one of my regrets, as is yours, it sounds like, was not stepping back for a minute and realizing, you know, the paper will get out tomorrow. If you'd like to hang out with a very small person, you can do that, right? But that's funny. That's when I wasn't even going to bring this up until you started talking about how you were right back at it. Because
I lived that story with you. We could do a whole, if this was a podcast for sports writers, we could talk another half hour about this and misplaced priorities and lessons learned and all that, you know, that I lived that story with you.
The regret hour.
I may have gone to Rich Rodriguez to the AD's house. That is how out of whack I was at that age. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and all I was trying to do, right, was like, you know, I wanted to get the story first. I wanted to beat the pants off of everybody else.
I know it occurred to you to say, hey, could you hold it for a little bit, honey?
I had to call the AD back and I was like, my wife is now in labor. And it's funny the way these things work out, right? Like any other day, 364 days out of that year, I really had nothing else going on outside of regular work stuff. And then they hire a coach and my wife goes into labor. Exactly. Anyway, this is a good place to jump off, Kevin. Padres, Phillies, 3-game series, and the Reds come to town. So we'll talk again Monday about the surging and I think very interesting Cincinnati Reds.
Yes.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Yes.
But first, the Phillies. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.